And so I was thinking about tonight and what to give, and I want to be encouragement. I don't really want to step on toes tonight. That's not my, I can do that, believe me. But I kind of want to be encouragement tonight. So that's my intention. Let's see if it goes that way. But you're in Acts chapter 12 there. And I've loved this passage of scripture. I've preached out of it a number of different times. But in verse 1 there, it says, you ready to stand? So, all right, let's stand. And I'm just going to read the first few verses. And it says there in Acts chapter 12, verse 1, now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quadrants of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Dear Lord, we love you. Thank you very much for this privilege of being back with friends. Thank you for the privilege of having the Bible. Thank you for the privilege of preaching it here tonight. Lord, I just pray that during this time you challenge, encourage us all. I would hope that everyone here has trusted you as their Savior, but if there's one just one here tonight that's not that way, I pray that you'd convict them and give them the boldness to deal with it. Be with the young folks over in the other room. I pray that you'd speak to them as well. And just have your hand on this church, Lord, and this congregation, and Fisa as well. And I just pray, Lord, that you'd keep us busy, keep us healthy, keep us serving you. We just thank you for that privilege. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And thank you for standing in respect of God's word. I love this passage of scripture. And I believe I'm among a group of people here tonight that pray. Amen. In fact, I'm going to just encourage you. I have a bunch of these prayer cards in my pocket. If you don't have one, I would be excited to have you have one and say you pray for it. Because I believe that the people that are here tonight are the praying people, amen? So maybe just encourage you to that a little bit. But as I think about that and know that's who here, I wonder maybe, do you ever stop and think about the effects of your prayer? You ever wonder about that sometimes? Like, you know, is this really getting through? Is God answering? Can I see? And I know it's good when we pray and we see that prayer answered in the way that God chooses, because it encourages us, doesn't it? And we need to be encouraged. All of us need to be encouraged. And I'm gonna confess it right here in front of you. I don't have the prayer life that I should have or that I would like to have. It's something we have to work on, and sometimes we need some encouragement in that area. And I pray that's what it is tonight. But what about your prayer life and the results of it? And you know, here the church is, it's a body of believers. And then at the same time, not only as an individual, but I wonder, as a group, as a church, how our prayer is doing. I think that's worthy to think about that, and I think we should. And of course, we're just going to, yep, God's will, right? It's going to happen. But we should be praying according to that and trying so that we can see it. So I want us to look at this here a little bit this morning or this evening. And if you want a title, I'll give you a title. It's Now I Know. Or maybe we could label this as Peter's Prison Party. Peter's Prison Party. You know, I didn't say it was Peter's pajama party, even though it was it in the evening at night. And I didn't say it was Peter's pity party either, did I? Because we don't read that in there anywhere. But, you know, he certainly didn't deserve what he was getting, the way he was being treated. And maybe we could call it Peter's prison party, but, you know, really, it wasn't a party. It wasn't a party at all, and I'm glad I wasn't there. But I find the phrase that the other title is down in verse 11, and when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety. And, boy, we like that, don't we? We like that. And here he is, here phrase, he's known for this phrase here, now I know of a surety. And so let's just look at this a little bit here. We don't like to be persecuted, and I don't really think we are necessarily being persecuted in a grand manner like some missionaries around the world are, like Visa and some of the stuff that's going on in there. But I'm going to say it may not stay that way much longer. I believe we could be, so we need to be prepared for that as well. And we've all went through some things in our lives that we didn't understand, and it's just sometimes we get some things we don't deserve sometimes, right? And then sometimes we go through some things so that maybe we can take that lesson and let it draw us closer to the Lord, or maybe line something out else in our life that needs to be or could be bettered a little bit. This is not the first time in the book of Acts that we find that the church has been persecuted or the individuals in the church. And obviously we know after that, after this, there's even more. But you don't find there where they quit. We don't find where they quit on God. We don't see where they got mad. We don't see where they stopped believing or stopped serving or stopped sacrificing. And even when they had COVID back there, they kept going like they were supposed to. Just seeing who was paying attention out there. Hey, Joe said COVID is over. So we need to get back at doing what we're supposed to be doing. Amen. Sunday school teachers, come on back. We need you. Junior church teachers, we need you. It's okay. He said so. Joe said so. We need to get back to it, right? The pastor was talking about us getting around and seeing and kind of getting a flavor of things. I'm just going to tell you the flavor of things is that a lot of people use, a lot of Christians, a lot of church folks use COVID to stop doing some things and serving the Lord. And I'm just afraid it's going to reflect in their prayer life as well as their actions. And they're not coming back. They're not stepping back up to the service positions that they had. That's the problem that I see. People aren't willing to go back to what they used to do and what they used to be. And I got a feeling prayer is taking its fall by the wayside as well. The young people are going to be really be hurt. But that's what I'm not preaching about tonight. But it just happened to fall out. In chapter 12 here, verse 1, it says, "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex a certain of the church." Man, the king takes action, just like the government took action, amen? He didn't stop Peter. He kept doing what he was supposed to be doing, and the others did as well. But the persecution still went on just as much. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quadrants of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Well, there's a lot of words in that little passage of Scripture that start with the letter P. This would be a great place to put a little sermon together and use the letter P. In fact, well, let's just go ahead and do that. There was persecution going on, right? And what does it say there in verse 3? It says, he proceeded further to take Peter also. So the persecution proceeded, but it didn't stop, and it hasn't stopped, and it's not going to with us either. Amen. The fear of the government to go on. They killed James, and he's stepping out and to kill more. It's nothing new. Amen. We ought to expect this. It's just how it is. We found that in verses 1 through 3. And in verse 2, we also found the people mentioned there a number of times. People there, we find it in verse 4, we find the people, and it pleased the Jews up before that. So we find, first of all, the persecution proceeded, still going on. We found the people here, and some of them, it pleased them in verse 3. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further. Persecution proceeded. The people were pleased, Jews and unbelievers, and Herod just continued the persecution because he saw that the people liked it and wanted it. Can we like calculate into our world and as today as well? We've seen the same thing, didn't we? He encouraged the king to do more killing, more problems coming. Look down there in verse 11 again. "And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angels and delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from," what does it say? "From all the expectation of the people and of the Jews." There was expectation. The people expected some things. I don't want you to think along here. Peter just kept doing what Peter was supposed to be doing, didn't he? We could go back and we could read, and I'm not going to go to all these places, but here we are in chapter 12 already, and there's been a lot going on, a lot of places preaching going on. Acts chapter 1, verse 15, he stood up in the midst and said, and in chapter 2, he said, it says, it goes on there, and
We could read in chapter 3, the lame man there, they went up to in the hour of prayer, and the lame man who's asking alms, and they healed him, and you know where he was leaping and praising God, all those going on there. And what does it say? Then Peter answered the people in verse 12, just doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're preaching and teaching, and we could go to chapter 4 and see where they taught and preached the resurrection from the dead. And chapter 10, again, they're preaching. Chapter 11, they're preaching and assembled, and they taught, and the Christians were all there. And so they were just doing what they were supposed to be doing in the midst of the persecution going on, even people dying. And the people and Peter were doing what they're supposed to be doing. They were preaching. The teachers were teaching. The pastors just need to continue to do what we're supposed to do as well. Amen? And then comes the prison party. There it is in verse 4. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison. The P's just continue here. And delivered him to 4 quadrants of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church of God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers, bound with 2 chains, and the keepers before the door of the prison. So here comes the prison party, or the pajama party, whatever you'd like to call it. Let's just think about this prison party a little bit. And who were the guests at the party? Who are the guests at the party? Well, we see 4 quadrants of soldiers. I believe, you know, I'm not the smartest guy out there, but I think I found quadrants, and that's root of that is 4, and there's 4 of them. So let's just at least say there's 16 so far, right? And then we found the angel there was right. He was at the party too as well, and then Peter was there, right? So this is quite a party. This is like 18 people at this party. When was the last time you had a party? Do you have 18 people at your party? You probably weren't in prison either, were you? But we can see this going on here. Of course, Peter's at his party, but what happens at this party? We find out as it's going on. We found there in verse 6 again, and when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers. Bound with 2 chains and the keepers before the door of the prison. And well, that just doesn't sound like a party. I mean, these soldiers were chained to him, but I have trouble sleeping sometimes. How about you? Do you think it would help having 2 stinky old soldiers chained up to you, 1 on each side, try to roll over, the noise? I just don't think the sleeping conditions at this sleepover were going very well. The same night, between bound with chains and keepers, you know, these guys are probably whispering and talking and rattling chains, and yeah, who knows what they were doing, doors slamming. But here, Peter, it says he was sleeping. Doesn't sound like he was letting this bother him all that much, right? Right there in the midst of persecution, in prison, with the expecting, you know, knowing what happened to James, and that might be what's going to happen to him, and Peter just goes to sleep. In jail. I don't think there was a lot of soft pillows or anything in there, but there he is. And in verse 7 it says, "And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison." One of those things that Peter's just sleeping on. I know how it works at my house. I like it dark, amen, until morning. And I open my curtain in my house, and the sun comes up from the east and then shines right in the window in my face, and I'm up. And it doesn't take much, a little bit of light, and I'm awake. I'm ready to go. And, you know, sometimes my wife, I'll be asleep, and my wife, or when I was growing up, my brother would come in the room and flip on the light switch, and well, I'm up. Have a struggle going back to sleep. And here Peter is in prison, chained to these 2 guys, and the other one's rattling the door all night long, and he's trying to turn. Anyway, it's going on there, and he's sleeping, and the light come on. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. I don't think this was just a little mag light or anything. I think this was a bright light. And what did Peter do? He just kept sleeping. He must have been tired, amen, or just quite content with the situation, knowing God had in control of it all. He wasn't going to worry about it. He wasn't going to throw a big party, pity party or anything. here he is sleeping. Behold, the angel came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side. It wasn't, Peter was sound asleep here. The angel had to smack him to wake him up. And how many of you ever been smacked by an angel? I'm not going to ask whether you've been slapped by your wife for snoring or anything, but these prisoners, or these two soldiers, were probably busy snoring all night too, you know. And there he is sleeping. The light comes on. It doesn't wake him up. Got to smack him. And it says, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up. Had literally, come on, Peter. He's sound asleep. Well, I just content. I'm not that sound of a sleeper. He said, and then the angel speaks to him. He says, rise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And I guess if all that would have happened, I would have put my sandals on pretty quick too. I would not have messed around here. And so he's probably half asleep. And so he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And we find the obedience going on here. And he went out and followed him. And it's an interesting little phrase here. And wist not that it was true, which was done by the angels, but he thought he saw a vision. Basically, in our language today, we would just say, he couldn't believe it. He was like, this is not really happening. I just must be dreaming. But we know better than that, don't we? I love that phrase. Wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel. Verse 10, and when they were past the first and the second ward, and they came unto the iron gate which leadeth to the city, which opened to them of his own accord. Here they walk up. The lights come on. They shake. The bands and the chains have come off the hands. This angel shined this light. He shook him. He smacked him. They get up there and they walk through one place and two places, and then they get up to the gate, and the gate just like opens on its own. Woo! Peter already wist not that he thought he was saw in a vision in the first place, and then the gate opens up, the iron gate opens up, and angel goes, he goes, amen. He saw it goes on down there. The angel opened of the gate which opened unto them his own accord, and they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. He's out of there. Wow, what a party, amen? Peter's prison party, and the angel is gone. And look in verse 11, and when Peter was come to himself, I like that phrase too. It's kind of like, chink, chink, the light came on. When Peter had come to himself, chink, chink. Wow, yeah, have you had that happen in your life yet? Have you kind of added it all up and went, wow, that's what you'll do, by the way, when you get there. When the light comes on, when you come to yourself, it's like, wow, I can't hardly believe this. But what do you do with that? Who do you give the glory to? Do you let that be an encouragement to you, or you pass it to someone? So Peter here in verse 11, and when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety. He came to himself, he realized it. He put it all together. In other words, he came to himself, and the statement that he made is, now I know of a surety. Well, that's a pretty good title for a sermon, isn't it? Now I know of it. Might be something good for you in your life to be able to say, now I know of a surety. There's a lot of things in our lives that now I know of. Something's for sure, amen. There's a lot of things about God. If we'll watch and just pay attention to some of it and not think it's a vision, it's real, and woo, there it is. Now I know of a surety that the Lord, who's he given the glory to? Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me out of the hands of Herod and from all the expectations of the people of the Jews. Man, he's put it all together. Sometimes we just need to gather it all up, put it all together, let the light come on and give God the glory like he just did here. And when he had considered the thing, verse 12, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where, guess what they're doing? Where three or four, or no, a whole bunch of them, where many were gathered together praying. Remember back at the end of verse 4 there? We've seen attending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Verse 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church, individual and a group as well, unto God for him. Many were gathered together praying, back in verse 12. And I love this, as Peter knocked on the door, verse 13 of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. I know for a fact that Rhoda was a blonde-haired woman. That proves it right there. Instead of saying, open the door and letting Peter in, no, instead she says, hey, Peter's at the door. Peter's at the door. Oh, Peter's at the door. And it took it a little while, not just once. And well, she's all excited, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, in another phrase of passage, I love this line, thou art mad. And you know what? There's some things we as a Christian might, people look at us and say, thou art mad. Why are you praying? Thou art mad. Why are you going to church? Thou art mad. Why are you excited? Thou art mad. Well, let him. Rhoda was having a great time. She was excited. She's seen the prayers answered. She's, woohoo! Peter, my friend, he's back. He's here. The Lord's good. She didn't care what others thought. What do you think? Oh, I can't. No, she got all excited. That's how we ought to. Then said they, his angel, let's back up to verse 15. And they said unto her, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed, it's just not once that it was even so. Then said they, this is his angel. But Peter continued knocking. When they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. We get that way sometimes too, don't we? This is the same group of people that were praying. And then when the prayers answered, they're astonished. We ought to just expect it, huh? Sometimes, I know me, and you probably know you, we stand back instead of being like Peter, and wist not that it was true, but thought he saw a vision. That might be us sometimes, and when we should just have already expected it. Hail glory. I'll move on. But he, Peter, in verse 17, but he beckoning unto them with his hands to hold their peace, declared unto them how, what's he busy talking about? Declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. And he said, go, show these things unto James, to the brother. And he departed and went to another place. What did he do? He just got right back to doing the same thing he was doing before he was in prison. Giving God the glory. Just going on and doing it. Let's look here in verse 18. And now as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what had happened, what was become of Peter. I guess not. You know, what about those prisoners that were there chained to him? What happened here? What about the gate? What about the door? No small stir. We read on down here a little bit. Those soldiers knew what was getting ready to happen. They were accountable for that, and they were accountable in a very serious manner. 19, sought for him and found him not. He examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. I guess it was no small stir for them soldiers. They knew what was going on, and I don't know this for sure, but I've been told that sometimes they added the family right on in with that number. And he went down from Judah to Caesarea, and there he abode. And Herod was highly displeased. Well, I guess he was with them of Tyre and Sidon, but they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus the king of the chamber, and their friend desired peace because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a day, Herod arrayed in a royal apparel. This is the same one that was back there persecuting. Remember back there? This is the guy who was busy doing that, arrayed in a royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, here these people are problem causing again, amen. And the people gave a shout, saying, this is the voice of God and not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, and because he gave not the glory of gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghosts. guess what happens then? He's out of there. Verse 24. But the word of God grew and multiplied. I wonder if they kept praying. I wonder how much that those people that were praying there, and when Peter got out of prison in verse 5, and then they were gathered together praying in verse 12, I wonder if the word of God grew and multiplied because they just kept on praying and doing what they were supposed to be doing. Do we quit on prayer? Do we get a little victory and not? I'm just going to leave it there. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem. When they had fulfilled their ministry, they took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Back to our P's again there. Persecution proceeded. The people were pleased. Peter and others were preaching. Then came the prison party, amen? And the prayer was provided. We know we need to be praying, right? Just like they knew. We got the scriptures and the testimonies and the examples, and I'm looking around here and pretty much everybody's grown up long enough to know that prayer works, amen? Here you are attending prayer meeting tonight. He's prayed here and amen when the prayer was going on. And we know the scripture on Ephesians 6, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit, watching thereto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Philippians 4, verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be known unto God. Colossians 1, verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, cease not to pray for you, and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. Everybody knows these three words. Pray without ceasing. I believe that's what even said there about the people in that church. They prayed without ceasing. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. They believe prayer works. We believe prayer works, right? They got to see it. We'll get to see it. Did it happen in a way that those people, I don't know how those people were praying, but I got a feeling God just showed them a whole lot more. Here in Peter's, there was a whole lot more than they prayed for happened that night. And I believe that they probably weren't praying for what happened in verse 24. It grew and grew and grew. There might have been, I don't know. But what about your prayer? What about my prayer? What about our prayer as a church? We want to see it. We need to keep. Not time to be quitting. Amen. And what do they do there? Pray. And Peter gets out of prison. He passed through one and passed through the gate and passed through one street to the next and out in the city. And, you know, the people are still praying. And, you know, our little problems might just might pass if we just keep praying and do what we're supposed to be doing. Amen. A lot of things will just pass by the wayside. We just keep right on going. They went out, and that's what we need to do. Get out of jail free card, amen? That's what he got right there. Walked right out of the city. Maybe our little problem would pass too if we just prayed. Maybe others' problems would just pass if we would just pray. This thought just came to my mind. How long do we pray? Do we pray for a while and don't necessarily see what we expect, and so we kind of, I know I have a human nature too, and that's, it seems like I kind of get that way sometimes. I'm just going to say I don't mean it this way maybe, but we kind of give up on God sometime when it comes to praying, don't we? I just wonder if we'd have prayed one more day if it might have been different, or one more evening would it have been different? What if they wouldn't have prayed that night for Peter being in prison that evening? I don't know. I'm glad it happened the way it did. But Peter sure was glad when he came to himself. He said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angels and hath delivered me. People still praying when he considered the thing. But you know what? As we read there, the soldiers there and verse 18, as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers. There was definitely perplexed and problems. Amen. They were perplexed, all right. That word perplexed means embarrassed and puzzled, and that's what the world is out there. They don't know. Those people that were praying, Peter knew what was going on, but the world out there, they're embarrassed. They're puzzled. And we have Christians, we just need to be of good courage, amen? Be of good courage and move on and do what we're supposed to be doing. And I'm just going to say here, we're at the end of chapter 12, and we see how this ends up here, a great victory, and the people praying and so forth, and Peter just goes on and does what he's supposed to be doing. But in chapter 13, we start hearing about who now? Paul. And I get to thinking about Paul there a little bit. Persecution. Just like we read back there in chapter 12. Started out with persecution, and here we are, another person here, chapter 13, we find Paul. And he's preaching. You can jump over to back to chapter 9, so forth. Anyway, what was the first thing Paul got busy doing? Saul converted, he got busy preaching, didn't he? Just like that, and then the persecution came, and we don't have to go too far before we find Paul being in prison, right? And what happened there? You know, the people didn't stop praying. Look down there in chapter 13. Look in there, verse 3. And when they had fasted and what? So the people are still praying. New guy, new situation, same persecution. Herod's gone. Another guy just came in there. He's persecuting. But the preaching's still going on. People are ending up in prison, and the people are still praying. Well, Paul got to do tremendous things, didn't he? Some of these same people praying. And it goes on down there, and you know, look at the story of Paul and all the things that he went through and the books that he got to pen for us. And he just kept relying on God and kept doing what he's supposed to be doing, and things just kind of like passed by the wayside, didn't they? He just kept going, and things just, but the people around him, they sure were perplexed, and weren't they? They were puzzled, and they didn't understand, and people couldn't figure out how things were happening. And I'm just gonna say it like this: it's our turn now. We see the story with Peter, persecution, problems, and everything you wanted. People praying. Just keep on doing what you're supposed to be doing, and then we find it with Paul, the same thing. Persecution, problems, people praying. You just pass through some things. Keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. Where did we stop on that? did we stop? Was the prayer provided? Didn't we not? I don't know. That's not necessarily an answerable question, is it? Boy, I love these phrases in this. I just love these phrases in this story. And when Peter was come to himself, I love that phrase. And now I know of a surety. I love that. These happen in our lives too. And when he had considered the thing, and there about Rhoda, thou art mad. And then we found the phrase that they were astonished. And no small stir among the soldiers what become of Peter. But nowhere in this passage of Scripture do we read where there was a pity party for Peter. And you know, you can read there about Paul too, and you know what? You'll find no pity party for Paul either. And then we can stop and think about our Lord Jesus Christ as he hung on Calvary. There was no pity party there either, was there? No one wants to hear about your pity party either. Amen? Don't bring the ER blanket. We don't want you. Don't invite me to your pity party. Save your stamp. I'm not coming. In fact, I'm going to try to avoid you if you're just going to have a pity party, because I want to be on the other side of that. Nobody likes pity parties. The person that's throwing the party doesn't even like the pity party, or they wouldn't be having it, amen? What business do we have when we have the privilege of prayer to be having a pity party? Now I know that Peter said that statement. I just think he should be known by that. Now I know. Now I know. Well, there's some things that we know. Now I know I'm saved. How about you? Forgiven sinner on my way to heaven. Now I know I'm forgiven. And now I know what's right. And I plan on doing it. Now I know. Now I know how to pray. Now I know to pray. I know the prayer works. We need to just be busy doing the Lord's work. Peter said, now I know. Paul said, Lord, what will I have me to do? We could look at Stephen, busy doing what he's not throwing a pity party. And as they're stoning him to death, he said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. No pity parties. You're catching this? They're just doing and doing and praying and taking what God has given them and going on. And as our Savior hung on the cross at Calvary, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. No pity party. Just get going, doing what you're supposed to be doing. I reckon that the suffering of the present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed. Doesn't even compare. What's going on down here in this earth doesn't even, it's not worthy to be compared to what glory is going to be. And when we're, doesn't even compare. I reckon that the suffering, we know all things work together for good to them that love God and to them are called according to his purpose. Amen. Man, all and anything for Christ. We just go through it. The Lord delivers us. Now I know, and it's not time for a pity party. Everybody with me? Yeah. I got to thinking about this. It wasn't Peter's prison party. It wasn't Peter's pity party. What it is, it was Peter's victory party. And that's the same thing that we can have. And that's what we need to focus on. Don't get focusing on the pity. And I know I'm on top of the mountain right now, but what's tomorrow going to do? And you may be too. No time for a pity party. It's not examples of any, no good examples, but there are a lot of good examples of victory parties, aren't there? Boy, at testimony time, we get them, and boy, it shouldn't be up. We're not in prison. Don't throw a pity party. Amen? We're not lost. No time for a pity party. We're not forgotten. No, we're forgiven, aren't we? Time for us to just get busy doing what we should be doing, staying there learning and praying and reading and meditating, faithful to the things we should be faithful to, being obedient, giving, and being ready to serve. Amen? I got to thinking about Peter a little bit, and you know, I got a feeling that Peter was like us in that we had to go through a few things before we got it all figured out. I got to thinking about it. It's recorded in the scripture a few times. When our Lord was going to Calvary, about the Lord told Peter about when the cock crows once, twice, thrice. There Peter is throwing a pity party. I don't know. No, I'm not part of that mess. Just stand here by the fire and get warm, that's all. And then what happened when the crow crowed the third time? Cock crowed the third time. What does it say that he did there? Wept bitterly. I think maybe Peter was past his little pity party. And this time when it rolled around, he had learned something. And he didn't throw a pity party. He just, it'll all be there in the morning. I'm just going to sleep and get rested up for today, for tomorrow's service for my king. Didn't throw a pity party, did he? Well, glory. Sometimes we're going to go through a book. Do we learn from those? What do we do? Peter did a lot of things. No pity party needed. You know, that little phrase that Peter said there in verse 11, it says, when Peter was come to himself. I found another place in the Bible where that little phrase was used. And when he came to himself. Does anybody happen to remember who said that? Or that said about? Yeah. How about the prodigal son? And when he came to himself, and where did he go when he came to himself? He went to the Father, didn't he? He went back to his Father. Maybe that's what we ought to do. Just stop the pity party. Think about how we have prayer and God's there and all that we have. Maybe we ought to just get a hold of the Father. Maybe we ought to just make sure we're up to par on the thank. Maybe we ought to make sure that our conversation, our prayer is where it's supposed to be with him. Somebody got a hold of God there, didn't they, during that story? Wouldn't that have been great if it would have been you? Somebody got a hold of God last week here, right? Last year? It's not time for a pity party. Who are you trying to please? You know who the people were trying to please? And Herod? Herod was trying to please the people. Are we trying to please the Lord? A lot of that will just not be important to us if we'll just make sure we're pleasing. Who are you pleasing? I wrote this down here just a few minutes ago. Who are you praying for? Are you preaching? Are you teaching? Are we doing what we're supposed to be doing? When he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, but I perish in hunger." Is that the way your prayer life is? Well, glory, I need to be done. He went back to his father. Peter said, "Now I know of a surety." How about you here tonight? Do you know of a surety that you have went to the Lord and confessed your sin and asked him to forgive you? Are you 100% sure on that salvation? You got that settled? "Now I know of a surety. I am sure I'm saved, forgiven sinner on my way to heaven because of what Jesus did for me. And there's death, burial, and his resurrection and his blood. On the mercy seat, now I know of a surety." Well, let's just go on a little bit further. While I'm meddling and saying, what's the surety on your service? "Now I know, surety, I'm doing as best I can to serve my King. I know, there's some things in life, now I know of a surety." Well, I need to be in this, but persecution, praying, busy serving the Lord, not time for a pity party. And by the way, I didn't hear of any pity parties while we were conversing here before the service. I'm not getting after anybody. But tomorrow's coming. And it don't take much to get us in this flesh to go get busy going with the pity party and start writing the invitations out and start texting on the way out and calling and starting the invitations going out in the morning. Woe is me. Why don't you come with me and Eeyore to the party? Bring your blanket. Well, maybe we should just be wiser and better with that time and just spend it in prayer. Start. Why don't we look and see? Why don't we watch what our privilege in prayer has got us as an individual and as a church? You know, that Visa, you pray for him? That should be encouragement to you. How many did you have saved last week? 8? Are you baptized? I said, I'm not going there, but you know where I could go. Would you stand for me? "Now I know of a surety." Would you stand, please, dear Lord? I love you, and again, I thank you for the privilege of being here tonight. Lord, would you forgive us where we get out of focus sometime and get to looking at the situations here around us rather than the whole picture of you and what you're doing. Lord, sometimes we get to looking at what we're doing and when really there's a bigger picture, others are praying as well. Lord, would you please just help us, forgive us where we failed you, and help us to thank you and put you where it should be in our lives. Help our prayer life as a church and as an individual to please you. Lord, have your will and your way in this little time, and we just want to thank you and give you the glory for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Music's playing. Just ask the Lord, is there something I need to do different in my life? Is there somewhere I need some forgiveness? Are you throwing a pity party? Well, if you are, then you definitely need to get some forgiveness and some help. Lord, help me. Help me to recognize. I don't want to be an ingrate. I want to thank you for what you've doing and done. Can I increase my prayer? Can I increase my service for you? If the Holy Spirit spoke to you, please do accordingly. Thank you.
Amen. Good challenge tonight from God's Word. You know what I saw there? I saw a lot of similarities, I think, to, of course, we're not necessarily being persecuted totally for righteousness' sake or for our Christianity, but we're beginning to see some things happen in our government. We're beginning to see our government imprison enemies, and we're beginning to see some things take place that seem a little unjust, you know, and what we do is we listen to some pity parties on the radio sometime. You listen to that stuff. But you know what I saw was that I saw that God is bigger than all of that. And there's a little thread there. Herod started out at the beginning, you know, stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church because he saw it pleased the Jews. And when it was all done, God said, that's it. That's as far as you go. And God's able to do that. But in the midst of all of this, right, in the midst of all of this is a little body of believers somewhere in Jerusalem on their knees and on their faces before God saying, God, we're powerless to get Peter out of here. Help us. And when he did, they didn't even believe he did. But that's kind of how we are too, though. So we just pray, believing, and kind of have to say, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Amen. But God's faithful. And this is really a key in the New Testament churches, is this matter of coming before God and seeking him out and praying about the things that are going on our side and continue to pray. We don't know how long he prayed, but it gives us a little timeline there. But they prayed for a while, and it was up to the time where it looked to me like Peter was on the line for just a day or two away from being killed. And God stepped in. Amen.